There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't sex?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your disgusting boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hello, fuckers. How you been? Where are you going? You wearing a condom? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome.
It's going to be an email episode this week.
Hey.
So we'll do the promo stuff up top, right? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
There's so much to promote. If you're in New York City, Thursday, October 19th at 9:30 p.m.
Exciting.
Corinne, myself, and Mikey Big Dong Dickie Coscarelli take the stage at the Midnight Theater.
Official performer.
Yes. Tickets are going fast, so get them. They might be sold out by the time you hear this, so fucking go to the bio in any of our social media. I'm at Christina Hutch.
I'm at Philanthropy Al.
And I am at Mike Coscarelli.
Notice how you took double the time that either of us took.
Yes, you did. And together we are at Guys We Fucked without the you and fucked.
It was a hot show last time. So
it was amazing. There were some surprises. I love shenanigans. You know, I love when one person that's performing doesn't know what's happening. That's always, I love that. It's right. So fun.
And like I that was time Corinne, my surprise.
When Corinne surprised me at Glamour Puss with the Beyonce drag performer, I'll never fucking forget that.
That was so hard because there was not a lot of extra space. We literally had to put the drag queen in a closet. And I'm sorry, to put you back here. Sorry if this is traumatizing for you.
That sucks.
But yeah, no. And also, if you can't make it live, you know, if you don't live in New York City or if you're just on a budget, you want to do a watch party thing, we also have live stream tickets available for that. And those are already on sale. I know last time we put them on sale a little bit later, but they're already, that's already an option. Also, the link is in all of our link trees.
Yeah. And you'll have 24 hours to stream it. So you don't have to watch it live
if you can't.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be on the road. I got 3 dates that I want you to come to, and all the tickets for these dates are at ChristinaHutchinson.com. Springville, Utah, Boxcar Comedy Club. I'm headlining you October 20th and 21st. November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Oh, wait, nope. That's getting changed.
Yep. Strike it from the record.
Strike it. I didn't even say it. Chicago, Illinois. I'm coming at you. I'm going to be headlining Zanies November 10th and 11th. And then Nashville, Tennessee, one night only, November 12th. Zanies again. Get your tickets. It's going to be great. And every week, I host Zoom group Sherapy for a Patreon page that I run that you can access on patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. I talk about this every week. I will say, every time I do, I'm like obsessed with doing this Patreon podcast. It stars you. Basically, it's group therapy, but minus a licensed therapist. And this past week, this woman was on and she had such an interesting job. She worked for a company who makes wind turbines in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And she works with the animals. So her job is they put microphones in the oceans where they're going to put the wind turbines. And she has to listen for pods of dolphins and whales.
Ooh.
And if they're in the area, I don't know the exact specifics, but basically she has to monitor if the site that they're building the turbine is near a bunch of dolphins, they don't resume construction. So
look at them being good people.
Yeah. And I said, what's the farthest you've ever gone out in the ocean? She said, one time we went out, it was a 40-hour boat ride. So
Whoa.
That's how far out we were. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
I'd be terrified. I hate being in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, I mean, a cruise is too much for
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, even when you're scared of everything.
But the yeah. ocean's terrifying.
Okay.
So is every other thing.
Guys, yeah. come on. We don't even know what's out there.
That's the exciting part of it.
We only discovered a third of the wildlife.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mikey.
Living in the ocean. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Oh my God, it's terrifying.
I'll tell you what, guys. Something I know is about aliens. And aliens have been known, have been spotted by ex-military people, by current military people, going in and out of the oceans, like UFO spacecraft coming in and out
so
of the oceans.
So now we do know what's out there. Mike, it's aliens.
Yeah, aliens.
Nothing to be scared of.
Oh, all right.
Probably a lot of other creatures that are from storybooks, honestly. But yeah, the ocean's very vast. And I said, so I asked her, I was like, do you hear any aliens ever? And I said, and I was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, actually, 2 weeks ago, we got something and it sounded wild. I'll play it for you guys. I have it. She sent me a fucking video of it. And I'm like, what the fuck? I played it. It sounds like an owl. It sounds like she's like, this is not a sea creature. I don't know what this is. And I'm like, that's so cool. And then we talked, she was going through something rough. So we talked about that. But,
and Christina said, keep on
yeah,
going.
Yeah, yeah, you're fine, girl.
Tell
Can you send me that alien
aliens.
Thing? No. I know, I had to be careful. No. But my point is, it's a really great space where you could kind of come in and talk about whatever you want. And I open it up for you to talk about aliens and ghosts if you have experience with them, because I want to fucking hear it.
Christina is so thirsty for abduction stories.
I know. And I'm like Erica Badu video. Like, I don't know why aliens haven't abducted me. I'm doing everything I possibly can
right.
to get abducted. Like,
you
girl,
really are.
Me and fucking too.
You really are.
Just saying it in the airwaves, you know, trying to manifest it. But anyway, it's a great space. And the audio from every Zoom session is uploaded to the Patreon page. So if you can't make it, you can listen to it. And if you want to submit an email or a story or a question or something, I can read it up top. And it's a really good space. And people, you know, a lot of people, I feel like wanting to die is a pretty common feeling. And it's different than being suicidal, of course, but
yeah. It's more passive. It's the lazily wanting to die.
Certainly. And so we talk a lot about that, and it's just a really good space where you can bring up stuff. If your coworker's being a cunt, talk that out. I gotta say, I mean, it's from doing this show for so long. I crush advice, and I have had so many books under my belt that I can recommend to people. So it's really helpful. It's really fun. I learn a lot about humanity in these Zooms, and I think you will too. So sign up at patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson.
And Los Angeles, if you are around November 8th, that is the next Gash at the Comedy Store, Hollywood. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Ticket link is up. I haven't officially started promoting it yet, though. So if you're one of those people who always gets shut out of that show because it always sells out, make sure to get those tickets ASAP before I make up the official poster. It's in the works now. And then going ahead to 2024, Washington, D.C., I am headlining the D.C. Comedy Loft, and that is Thursday, February 29th through Saturday, March 2nd. That ticket link's already up. People are already buying those. So I know it's a little bit far in advance, but D.C. always a hot crowd. So get those tickets now. Again, all available in the Linktree link in my bio. And of course, you can join me every week on Without a Country, my news podcast. It is Domestic Violence, I'm guessing, Awareness Month. I have been calling it Domestic Violence Month, but I feel like there's probably an awareness or a prevention somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about that a lot on that show, because it has been coming up so often in news stories and bigger stories with celebrities. So we're going to be definitely going into that a little bit deeper. So join us, Without a Country podcast on YouTube. It's quite a show.
Forgot, because there's no intro sheet in front of us. The Voices in Our Heads, my solo podcast, is back. And it's on Mikey Big Dong Dickie's Coscarelli's new podcast network, Slick Back Studios.
Oh, it's not announced yet, but the show is back.
I didn't say that.
Christina's show is back.
But we've talked about Slick Back before, Mike. So
but it's
not
on your network.
We've talked about it many times.
Yeah.
Christina and I are working together to give you a new Voices in Your Head every week.
Yeah, baby. It comes out every Monday. And now there's two
episodes. Maybe you
could
get the name of the show, right,
the
Mike?
Voices
it's
in
The
our
Voices
heads.
In Our Heads.
What did I say?
You said the voice in your head or something. You said voice in your head.
Did
it's
I?
Like, I knew what you
that's,
meant.
That's Mike's
like,
show.
It's like my grandpa going his whole life calling me Christine.
I'm running a business.
Like, care. Come on. Yeah. So the voices in our heads back and I dive into aliens. And but it's also like a self-helpy podcast where I'll read excerpts from self-help books. The last two episodes I've read from Carter Stout's We Are All Addicts.
And we talked Lionsgate portal.
The Lionsgate. Yeah. The first episode I filmed on the Lionsgate portal.
The old portal.
Yeah. So listen to that wherever you get your podcast, and there'll be a YouTube page coming soon because all the kids want to watch the podcast, even though that's not what it's for, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We're changing with the times and we're great with it. How are you, Corinne?
Mike's still trying to act like he's keeping a secret. Oh my God, Michael. Okay.
Soft launch.
You've already done soft launches. We've seen the little slick back guy neon sign on your Instagram already. Like, I don't know how long you're trying to, like, what are you waiting
for? I'm building it with the website primarily, but I'm building anticipation.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. We're shivering. You know?
Anticipation. Oh God. Was that some old guy joke?
No, it's from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, technically now it is an old guy joke.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Film came out in 1975.
Tim Curry, gotta love him.
Gotta love that. Love that wheelchair, man. Okay.
Timmy.
Well, sorry, he's in a wheelchair. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. It's fine.
We don't have to coddle people in wheelchairs. They'll wheel their way in.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine.
I know.
They're just like us, but in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
I always forget. I remember, like, I forgot Tim Curry had a stroke, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw footage of him not that long ago. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? I'm like, oh yeah, I had to re-remember that he had a stroke.
Yeah.
The same thing with Dick Clark. I didn't realize he had the stroke, and then he was hosting New Year's Eve one year, and I was like, does anybody? Is he drunk? And then
Tim Curry, much nicer guy than Dick Clark. So,
oh yeah,
yeah,
nice.
That's what I've assessed by having met Tim for 10 minutes and Dick Clark never.
10 minutes is a long time.
It's pretty good. That's how celebrity culture works. Yeah. I've made a whole assessment of his personality from one blip from a documentary. Thank you so much, everybody.
100% accurate.
And I go, you know what? That he deserved that stroke. Can you imagine? That's what it's like being a celebrity of that status.
Yeah.
Just someone on some bitch on a couch being like, you know what? He had that stroke.
Fuck
coming.
You.
Take all your riches and pay for your stroke.
Because of one editor's work in a Michael Moore documentary. Anyway, we move on. Okay.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/guys.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
we can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Yeah, no, what was I thinking about? Oh, so, my conundrum for this week is, why do men stay in relationships so long that they're unhappy? And this is like an epidemic. And I wanted to bring
Michael smiling and brimming.
And so you have an answer. And so this is not something I see this amongst my peers, my male friends, and also it aligns with the Getting to I Do book that we were really obsessed with a couple of seasons ago of Guys We Fucked, because it states that the feminine energy is always the energy to end a relationship.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously that's not a true 100% of the time, but that is basically like what the, you know, what the experts are saying.
Yeah.
So can you explain this to me, Mike? I know so many people who are like, don't really like their relationships that are men, but they are also unwilling to leave them. And we also see this with people who are cheating in marriages, you know?
Yeah.
It's so, you know, that's why when people write in, like, it is so not often that a man will actually leave his wife for the woman that he's cheating on. Obviously, it happens, but it usually takes a long time if it does happen.
Well, I think that oftentimes the societal roles of men are to be as the breadwinner, traditionally, mm-hmm. I think that there is a level of guilt that comes in with like kind of breaking a woman's heart in a lot of ways.
But even if you're not financially providing?
Yeah, I don't think it has actually anything to do with the like financial aspect of the relationship. I think it has to do like in my relationship that didn't end well. I think that.
Who's that?
I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying.
Me and Mike made a pact to grow up.
Yeah, we're trying to grow up.
Obviously, it's working great.
do not want to try.
This is just for reference, but I think that there were times where I felt like I could have gotten out of that relationship and probably should have. But I think that there were circumstances where like she had moved to New York and she was younger than I was. She didn't have like much of a base here. I think there would have been a part of me that felt like I was just leaving her to like fend for herself, essentially. Now that's a specific circumstance. So
but
it's
I've
not
heard
like-
that before. I've literally had a conversation with one of my, and this is like an older, not older, but older than me, friend who he kind of had that same thing. Like, oh, I don't want to leave her. What should we have? And I was like, believe me, leaving her now is a lot more, like a lot better than, you know, stringing her along.
Yes.
Stringing along is cruel.
For unhappiness. That's exactly what I said. I was like, give her the freedom to make her own choices and find someone who really values her. And my advice was spot on, of course. And she now lives in a house, found someone who's definitely her soulmate. They look so happy together.
Yeah.
And like, I am so happy. Cause also it was like, you know, she was kind of cramping my side because she thought I was fucking this guy and I literally wasn't.
Sure.
But I was just like, but he definitely is like, you know, not being faithful and stringing along. So,
yeah, I do. It's odd that, I mean, you've mentioned a lot about the people that you, the men that you are close to you in a lot of ways, that you feel like everybody's a cheater. There's something that I think like in men where they can sort of rationalize it somehow in a sick way where that's almost better.
It's expected
than
of me.
Just dumping the person.
Right. It's so weird. Like I know so many people and like not only will they stay in the relationship, they will make moves further into the relationship while actively being unhappy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing?
That's wild.
Right.
I think it's odd too, but I think you're right. I think it happens. I've had friends who
women just don't stay when they're not happy. I feel like a woman is just more like, I gotta get the fuck out of here because there's another adventure for me and I want it now.
Well my assessment of it was kind of like aligned with Mike's in like, it, not so much in like that men are afraid to like break a woman's heart, but it's like for me, it's like men just don't want the irritation and burden of having to go through a breakup. And right, a breakup is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And men like
it is hard. It's hard to do
things easy and simple.
Me too, buddy.
And I get it. And so I get like. But like, when is a good time? It's almost like they want to like schedule a breakup during a convenient time. And I'm like, I really, like, I get it. Like, you do have to plan for a breakup for when it's going to be the least, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Pain like, in the ass, like least sticky, like.
Just like the least.
Traumatic?
Collateral damage is what I want to say. Collateral damage. But it's like, I mean. You're just going to go deeper and deeper into a relationship while you're doing that?
That's interesting. You brought that up. I think I talked to you a little bit about one facet, the Patreon interviews that I do. Multiple women have come in saying that they were broken up with by the guy and the guy didn't want to talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
But the relationship was like 5+ years long. You got to, what?
Because they had been planning it in their head probably for like 3 years.
Right. And it does check out.
Yeah.
That they don't want anything messy. They want as little mess as possible with that philosophy. That would check out because I could not understand for the fucking life of me why you would just dump somebody very quickly. One of them was over text. I'm like, a 3-year relationship?
I also don't understand.
That's a little wild.
Like, that's fucked up.
Math, like, you know, there's this whole concept of like girl math on, you know, online right now. Well, I don't understand the boy math involved in thinking that staying with someone longer will make the breakup easier for the woman.
Dude,
I guess like, I guess they're thinking they'll get tired of them.
No, Corinne,
are they waiting for the girl to do it?
They're pressing snooze.
No.
They're pressing the fucking snooze button.
I think what they're doing is I think a lot of guys are trying to figure it. This is like the classic like cold feet before the wedding type thing where like
jeez, you guys get cold feet over everything, breaking up, getting together.
Traditionally it's like a trope that it's like men up until the day before they're about to marry some woman are like, I don't know about this, I don't know, you know.
That's so interesting.
I think that's
because
way more common for men than women that
I don't
just
know
like,
though because I think both men I because that whole cold feet notion with that a guy gets, I think women actually get that too. They just don't fucking talk about it. But it's like, sure. I've heard a lot of guys say like, is there anyone else out there? Maybe there's other people out there. Women think that too. Mm-hmm. Like not just romantically, but like sexually. Like what if I sexually lust after somebody else and like that's, and then I can't do anything about it and I'll feel trapped or whatever.
Right, I don't think it's exclusive to men. I just think that the thing that is more common in men than in women in relationships is that I think a lot of times men get into the relationship and then they're figuring out if they want to be in the relationship. And
totally.
That's why
while they're already in it.
Yeah. I think sometimes those breakups get elongated because the guy is still trying to, if you're just single,
wait, you went through that? Getting in a relationship and then decided while you were in it if you wanted to be in it?
No, the guy was deciding.
It
felt like the guy was deciding as we were in it. And I'm like, well, I don't like this. This feels unsafe.
I see.
Because you get pinned against the wall sometimes as the
man. I did give him an ultimatum.
Because you have to.
Who's
exactly.
No.
Oh, okay.
You get given the ultimatum. You get, women will at some
but
point
then
be
don't
like,
don't ever
what
talk to me again. Then don't ever talk to me again. Choose that one.
No, but this is the thing. If you like somebody enough that you're just like, all right, well, I'll get into this and figure it out later. I think that happens all the time.
Yeah,
where guys are just like, let me figure this out. And then if it works, it works. If not, we'll maybe break up at some point. I'll just start cheating on her like recklessly.
But
I don't feel that way, but I think that happens.
But I also know multiple men. So then I'll like a lot of times my follow-up question will be like, well, have you ever felt like passionately in love with anyone that you've been with? Like, do you feel like you do have a one? And they'll always be like, yeah.
Yeah. And that person probably broke their heart. You don't think?
Sometimes, yes, but like, I don't know. It's
interesting.
I just like, for me, and there's also a part of me that in that like almost makes me lose respect for them because you're like, I can't imagine like settling for anything. Like I'd rather settle for nothing than less than I deserve. Right?
Totally. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's like, I'm like pretty anti-relationship in general. As we know, my real, you know, summer realization, but there are like,
they're fun.
One or two, you know, it's I like I said to my therapist over the weekend or last week, I was like, I don't want a boyfriend, but I do want to. And then I like said, like insert someone's name here. Like, so if that person like came around, like this person's existence in the universe, like, so I don't want just a boyfriend to have a boyfriend, or I'm not like out seeking a boyfriend, but if this person, you know, got their shit together or came around, like that person I know to be good enough and worthwhile enough to, you know, but I'm not, it's kind of like, I'm not seeking beyond that anymore. Like at this point, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just comes down to the fact that like, it's easy for a guy to break it off with somebody that he's like casually seeing. If you're totally physical with somebody, but it's like you don't really see it going anywhere, it's just kind of fun. It's easy at some point to be like, yeah, I don't really see this having a lot of legs and, you know, this has been fun, but like we got to stop doing this. Where I think the issue comes into play is where there is an emotional connection with somebody.
Yeah.
And again, you're like the boy math of like figuring out like, okay, I like her, but like, is this my wife? Is this the person that like, you know, are we going to have kids together? Does she want to have kids? Do I want to have kids? Like, does she want to live in New York? Do I want to, you start thinking about all of these different things and you're kind of figuring it out on the go.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times you get in situations where like you might have an emotional attachment and like traditionally, as we all know, men are not great with emotions. Well, you know, emotionally, men have not dealt with any of them for centuries. And that's why we have mass shootings and wars and all sorts of things.
Right.
They'd rather go to, you know, Berlin and fight Hitler than break up with a girl. You know?
Yeah. I just can't
preach, baby. Preach.
I just can't imagine being
Einstein's right.
like tepid about someone the whole time and then continuing to take steps forward with them. And I also can't imagine being the woman on the end of that. And like going forward with, like, you can tell when someone feels tepid about you.
Yeah, of course you can.
It doesn't feel.
I also think women in a straight relationship, women interrogate the state of the relationship so much more than men interrogate it. Like, and I meaning like by themselves, like by yourself evaluating, like, okay, let's take a little stock here. Like, how does this person make me feel? Well, how do I feel about them? How do I feel about the future? Guys don't think about that, which is like, I love that and I hate that because there's this beautiful simplicity of like, how do I feel now? But, you know, that doesn't have legs for the future if you want a family with somebody.
But like the serious relationships I have been in, like, you know, for all their faults, these are people who really like were excited to be with me and celebrated me and talked about me publicly and all that kind of stuff. And I just, to me, it's like so obvious when someone feels halvesies about their partner.
Yes.
And it's obvious to everyone else. So how can it not be obvious to you?
But do guys, sometimes guys need the halvesies state or one person or both parties, not necessarily guy, girl can feel this too. The halvesies state of like, I think I like being here, but I don't know for sure.
Yes.
So I got to keep doing it.
But it goes on for years.
Yeah. That I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because I can't tolerate that. I can't tolerate that feeling in myself for more than like 2 months.
It feels terrible.
Yeah.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from the Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Well, it's like, think of it like this. How, let's just say hypothetically, you were seeing some guy that you felt was exclusive for, you know, how many months do you feel like you're somebody's girlfriend?
It depends on the quality of time we spend in that month.
So
in
three months. All right. Like I know guys that have dated women for like 6 months and been like, yeah, I don't know.
Like, no. Well, then you're like, shit, I got off the pod.
Yeah, three to four, I'm out.
But that's why
I think a lot of times guys are willing to do that until some woman is like, what's going on here? And then the guy's just like, all right, fine. I guess
we're together.
Right.
And she's like, my prince, just like the Disney movie said.
Right.
Wow, you know, you're so happy to be here.
And the thing is, like, the ultimatum does work, and I see it work so many times, but I would never give it because I don't want to have to give it. If I have to give you an ultimatum for you to be with me, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Right. So then, so you would just break up.
Well, we were never together if I'm giving an ultimatum.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
So you would say, walk away. Hey, let's stop seeing each other.
I'm done. I walk away.
Yeah.
Like, which it's crazy.
Construe, like, you don't mean that as an ultimatum, but maybe that would make them go, wait.
Right. I mean, I've walked away and really meant it and then had someone chase me back and I ultimately was like, all right, but like, I'm not fucking around.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I was just kind of like cut. I wasn't giving it. I wasn't bluffing.
When a woman, like when I personally think about when I'm in the beginning stages of dating somebody and I think about where I wanted to go, the young me just went off of how excited I got about them, which now I know is anxiety. But now, you know, it's a much more thoughtful and careful process. Mikey, do men do that? Or are you just based off of how you feel, how this person makes you feel?
I mean, again, it's hard to speak for all men.
Of course. Have you done that? Or do the men you know do that?
Yeah, I think most of the time it does. For me, it does have to do with like how the person makes you feel. And then like when you're really invested in somebody, I do think that you kind of, you know, for me, I felt like I was in love when I didn't even really notice other women. I was just like, whatever. But I don't know. I have friends, like I said, that have been in situations with women where they've like kind of palled around and hung out with a woman or a girl for, you know, almost a year. And then there's never a talk.
Right. If she doesn't bring it up, it's not getting brought up.
Right.
It seems. So, but you know, I have like, I always, you know, that song, When a Man Loves a Woman, that's such a beautiful song. And it, like, I was thinking about that song the other day. Cause I'm like, there are some men, and I'm just talking about straight people here. Cause that's what we are. But, some men, when they fall in love, like I really admire how they express falling in love to the person they're falling in love with. It's beautiful. And to me, it's very masculine, like very kind of all these, there's society stereotypes, but like kind of executed very beautifully and thoughtfully, like the protective nature and the just asking her, like kind of prioritizing her in this really beautiful way. And then some guys like just, I'm like, is there a soul in there?
Well,
you know, in there?
Yeah. Like when Shane Gillis was on the show, do you remember there were like listening to him, there were times where I was just like, like, does this guy know anything about his girlfriend? Or like,
yeah.
And it was just kind of shocking to me that somebody would be with, and I'm not like trying to throw shade.
But a lot of
him.
Guys, no, the lot I of guys
that
like
relationship
that,
has since ended.
Sure.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. But it was just like that whole time I was listening to it, I was just like, what the hell is even going on here?
Right.
Like the, I think that's teeth. More common than
I
than
do
not,
too.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know?
I do too. And I think Yes. And I think a couple of comics who watched that interview on our YouTube page who were like, I was like, oh shit, you watched the show. I didn't know you watched the show. They loved that episode. And it seemed like a lot of them, the guy comics, loved that episode because they felt less alone and being similarly stumped
and being emotionally stunted.
Yes. And I'm like, okay, let's fix it. Cause when you identify a problem, you got to fix it.
I just
don't know how he fixes it.
I just absolutely cannot wrap my mind around being in love with somebody and then being with somebody else instead.
That's crazy.
I can't wrap my mind around it.
That's for me, that wouldn't be scientifically impossible. That would be impossible. Yeah, that's wild.
Like,
but do you know guys that are in love?
Mm-hmm.
In love with somebody else and
multiple.
With another?
And the thing
but are they in love with you though?
No comment. And,
okay, because that would make it tricky because if you don't like them back, then.
No, but it's not about not having reciprocity. Like it's about, I think a lot of times it's out of fear. And like, you know, you always say like that we act out of love or we act out of fear.
Yeah,
right.
True.
And so, and listen, it's not like I'm someone who never gets scared. I'm scared of a lot of things, of course, but I think that what is scarier to me than getting hurt or rejected is living a life less than the best life that is available to me. It's so much scarier.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just feel like men are actually scared of the rejection or the pain more than settling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, especially if they also have more options as far as, like, you know, we've talked about before, like, even the second best option of a woman is still, like, better than, like, many of the best options of a man.
Well, yeah, that's yes, what I was going to say. 100%
agree with that.
I think men are very, like, comfortable with the idea of settling. I think that's what the whole point is.
That's
right?
So
settling
that
down,
and that is so disappointing. So right, so that, and that makes me. That makes me question men, right? Yeah. Like, so that almost makes me question, like, people. Like, so it's almost like, I'm trying to phrase this carefully. How do I, like, even maintain feeling attracted to someone if they are willing to settle for less than they deserve? Like, that makes me less attracted to that person.
Yeah.
If I know that that's the way that they're living their life.
Well, I imagine, though, that when they are settling, the person in their life that they're settling for doesn't know that.
You gotta have some. I think I have to give them a little more credit than that
for sure. But what if they sense it and they're scared and they don't ask or something like that? Like that's happened so often in so many relationships of various, you know, romantic or not.
Well, I think there's just so many women who just want a boyfriend to have a boyfriend, and I think that's like the real difference between that's what really I've found separates me a lot in society. And this is not like I'm better than you. It's just like I'd really rather be alone than have a boyfriend just for the sake of being a boyfriend. And I think I am in the minority, not the majority.
Well, and you are in the minority. However, I think most people, when it comes down to brass tacks, if they were presented, most people say they'd want a boyfriend rather than not because they don't understand how to have a good time with themselves.
Right.
And I love being like, when I'm the only one at the apartment or whatever, it's so blissful. Even when I was single for like a couple of years, it was blissful. Like it's so important to your soul to be by yourself. Like it's so important, but I think people don't. That's when the bad feelings come in. And if you don't know how to navigate that, then you want to distract. And I think maybe sometimes girlfriends are just distractions, as they can be for women too.
No, a girlfriend is somebody that, like, when you're around my age and you're mid-30s and all your friends are coupled off and there's nobody to go out with anymore on a Friday night, your girlfriend is somebody to, like, go have dinner with on the weekend.
Oh, I've definitely felt that. I've definitely felt that. There needs to be some more dog-friendly establishments.
No, there does. But, like, you just don't go out with your guy friends. Tell your wives to stay home.
I no longer ever.
They're not around. I feel that too. Like as we get older, people are around less.
Yep.
Oh,
everyone's around less when they're in a relationship. You're around less. It's just what it is.
Yeah, less. But like I always make a point. Like I want to have like friend nights, or I want to have like, you know.
It's still less available though. So when we're all single, people are just kind of available, and you have your crew that you call up. You can call up the same
like
day,
Justin and
Friday
I.
Night.
During the pandemic. Yeah. Totally.
It would just be like, what are we doing tonight, guys?
And right.
I mean, you remember even like with you guys in our 20s. Like,
yeah.
I feel like anytime I would go out, if I didn't have spots or wasn't barking or anything like that, it'd be like, I'd hit you guys up. I'd hit up like you know, Julian and Chris Cheney and all these people. Mm-hmm. And we would just go out.
Like, what do you guys want to do?
Right.
It was just this
like,
car.
I would never not be out on a Friday night in New York in my 20s. And now it's just like, you know, one of my best friends moved to Chicago. Another one of my best friends has a baby.
Yeah,
like,
a baby.
And lives in Jersey.
Unless you have a car. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, that's what happens when I think a lot of men move towards just like, all right, well, I need to have a wife or a girlfriend or something.
Well, it's so nice to have, you know, it is nice to like go through life with a person, you know, if you like that person, it's lovely.
1,000%. But I also think that that puts men a lot more men. Maybe it's not just a man thing, but like, I feel like that's what puts men in a lot of positions to settle. Where they're just kind of like,
that makes
my
sense.
Friends all have babies. What am I doing? Like, who am I going to hang out with? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And that, like, I guess it's time to start a family, you know?
Right.
Not saying it's right. I just think.
No, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I just can't imagine like getting my heart broken, like having my heart broken by someone and then literally to heal it when I'm still in love with someone else, like going and getting married to another person.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
actually
that's
fucking crazy.
Move.
That's like fucking crazy to
me.
And it is a guy move.
It's a guy move, dude. Yeah. I can only assume that it's has to do with not thinking you can tolerate those feelings when you actually can.
It's like, it's like men would rather get married to another woman than like have a conversation or apologize.
You are correct, Corinne.
It's and it's really, really wild to me.
Yeah.
And as masculine as I am, I can't, I can, I, that would never happen. Yeah. That would never go down in my world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think you're wrong.
I think you are, in fact, right.
Well, it's got reinforced.
She did it again, guys.
The devastating news that I knew. I just like to come in here with like a devastating theory that I made up in my mind and then have Mike go, no, yeah, it's right.
Yeah, you are correct. You
are. Me and the boys have been talking about it too, Corinne. Turns out you're right. Life sucks.
God.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Just like I've never since I was a little girl did I ever settle for anything. I mean, and that's why, you know, my mom was like, well, you are in some ways the biggest pain in the ass and in some ways the easiest child to raise because we always knew what you wanted, even though it was fucking impossible.
But that's like, you know, and to me, I say one of the things that makes me so in love with life is setting goals and then figuring out how you can accomplish them and like make, yeah, like exactly what you're saying. And I'm like, what? I think maybe the masculinity part for men is just so, women have very clearly broken through the societal expectation of getting married and having kids very clearly and very pretty quickly, honestly. Given that like you could legally beat your wife not that long ago in most of the United
Hell
States.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, punch her in the face.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And so it's so exciting. It's like, to me, you know, when you were a kid and you got like for me, I had like a tub of Barbies and I would hang out a lot by myself as a kid and I would just be in my room and I'd take the tub out and I knew that 5 hours were going to pass and feel like 5 seconds. Like it was just you, but you were so in your own imagination and anything's possible and you can make up your own world. That's how I think life. That's how I feel about life. But same. I don't know that men feel that way about life because maybe it because too much pressure has been put on them to be like,
yeah, they don't
to be a breadwinner. That's too much pressure.
1,000%.
I wish any of these men we were talking about though had bread.
Yeah,
I got the bread.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
What is where your concern, baby? Well, that mommy's card is maxed out.
Because it ain't.
Mommy paid her bill.
But I don't know that I hear men as much talk about, like, one man that I think has a similar philosophy to what you and I are talking about, like Eric Andre. Eric Andre is, I don't know him, but I've witnessed his career. I love his career. I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
He is a fantastical man.
Yeah.
He leans into how fucking weird he is. And he does all this crazy shit and he has fun. And I'm like, that motherfucker is that guy knows the secret
to
life.
Christina, not everybody.
I know everybody's like that, but like, yeah. But like, you know, you could do anything in this world. Like, what do you want to do? Like, but do you go, what lights you up? What excites you? Like, let's figure out how to do it. Like, that's why when I was with my ex for 7 years, I'm like, I was like, most of my energy was going towards trying to get him to understand that you can do this. Like, you can do anything. And he met me when I was broke. And then he watched us go like fly to the sky with guys we fucked. And I'm like, I told you, like, you, life is magical. Like, put your heart in the right place and go. But I don't, yeah, I don't really have conversations with men about, a lot of my guy friends are like super emotionally intelligent and like lovely and kind and goofy and all that stuff. But I still don't. Yeah, I don't hear that type of excitement.
When I think of the concept of masculinity, how it is like served to us in movies and stuff, like to me, I think it is like extremely masculine to like spend a good portion of your life like fighting for this person who you think is your love, right? And like I feel like I have that in me. Like if I have my like sights set on someone, like I will fight for that person. But it's almost frowned upon when women do it, right? So it's like, it's a very masculine energy. Like you can,
how
like,
do you mean like fight for, like, to get that person?
Like if I waited outside somebody's house with a boombox, it would be psychotic, right?
Yes.
You
yes,
know?
Even though
if
I've
a man
done
did
it.
Though, that would also be psychotic.
No, it wouldn't be.
No, it'd be, no.
Not if it was someone you love.
If you don't get a creepy vibe from him and you're actually like dating and stuff and he does, it's charming.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. Because I've tried to do those gestures and
right?
the look in the guy's eyes.
Because I have that in me, but I know not to do that because I know it's scary, right? But like in my heart, I know, you know,
yes.
like I wrote this was a while ago, but I like wrote a, you know, letter to someone like and like a love letter, basically. And all my guy friends laughed at me.
Oh,
they were like, Curtin, you did what?
A love letter? That's so nice.
My friends laughed at me. My male friends, I told my
That's
male
such
friends.
A beautiful lost
and
art.
They openly mocked me, which is fine. It was definitely, and ultimately it was received how I wanted it to be, but it took so long for it to seep into this person and for them to be able to like, peel the shell away to accept it's probably the most vulnerable letter I've ever written, to accept the vulnerability of my letter.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like it made my therapist cry.
Wow. Congrats.
Well, you're
I do
so,
that a lot though.
People apparently. Think you're not
Maybe
vulnerable.
She's just emotional. It's so funny because everybody thinks Corinne's got walls up. Corinne's got hidden insecurity. And it's like, no, you are a very vulnerable person. You just don't give it to people until they earn it.
Well,
and
exactly.
Then,
no, but when these people don't deserve it.
When you get it, you're like, this is the most beautiful thing ever. It's like, it is like a beautiful vulnerability. Yeah, you got cool. talent for writing letters.
Because this industry is also filled with people who are just performatively hemorrhaging vulnerability for clicks. And I am disgusted
Preach.
By that.
You hear that, Instagram?
So that is why I am probably overly protective.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like also, I'm not... You know, I'm like a rescue dog in a certain way. It's like, well, if you keep doing this, if you do this thing and then you are greeted with people using your vulnerability against you, well, then they don't get it anymore.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep putting my hand in the flame.
That's why I'm always confused, even though it's most people, when people are afraid to get hurt. Because I'm like, you can get hurt until they die. It's okay. Like, just put yourself out there. Or like not wanting to end a relationship because it's going to hurt or whatever. I'm like, that's not.
Because it's going
to
be a pain in the
that
ass.
Would never, being hurt would never hold me back for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I also kind of get it. I'm like, it is more, you know, I'm like, that's what, you know, I always do leave myself an escape route though. Like, that's what why I won't let anyone move in with me, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's wise for very, various reasons. But
I just can't. Yeah. I just like. I don't know. It's not helpful in working on like my respect of men, which is something I am working on actually.
Well, yeah.
I work on it.
I think every woman, especially if you're a woman who has sex with men, whether you're straight or bi, every female friend I have, we've all had this type of conversation where you're like, you ever get in these zones where you're like, I just don't want to see a guy.
Yes.
I don't want to see a man. I don't want to talk to a man. I don't want a man to fucking look at me. And because so many men are wonderful and great, but the ones that are so disappointingly, they're heartbreaking to be around because they just throw hurt at people. And it's just, you're like, oh, what the fuck? The ones that are bad are just so bad that it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, I heard a podcaster saying, you know, talking like a Slumpfire, who I talked about before on the show.
Oh, she's great.
She,
I started following
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she basically was like, in one reel, she was like, yeah, I do hate men and I need to apologize for it because I don't think you need to apologize for hating your oppressor. And I was like,
preach.
Yes.
Yeah. But also too, once you talk about it like that, like the way she talks about it, it's like, now we can actually get somewhere because mm-hmm. it's like, well, you hate men you have experiences that have really fucked you up.
And like, you hate the group. It's not like you hate individual people. You are angry at, in totality at the group, which I think is really fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, and it's interesting also because like when I think about like who I've dated, it's like, I think the people who the outside world would probably think that I respected the least, I actually respected the most.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But it's like my standards for what I'm looking for, I think, are quite different.
Right.
You know, I'm just really looking for people who are comfortable walking to the beat of their own drum. That's like the number one thing that to me is going to gain my respect.
Yeah. That's why I love a weird guy. Love a weird guy.
Yeah.
Fucking make your own socks. Let's go. Whatever.
That's something that's happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
Make your own
it
socks.
Could. It could.
All right. If you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Sorry. Did you have anything else that you wanted to?
No.
Oh, fuck. I just get lipstick on myself. And also, I have this thing where I like, I signed up for the New York Knicks texts and then and then it says New York Knicks. Like, and I still every time think that the whole team got my number and texted me.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, when
that's the kind of porn I want
to
be
in. Practice?
You know, it's like when I signed up for like Selena Gomez's newsletter and then like, I'll check my inbox and I think everything is so possible that I think Selena Gomez got my email and emailed me.
That's
right.
I'm
like, oh my God, finally Selena knows what I've been putting down.
Right.
Like, that's amazing.
Actually crazy. All right. So if you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. This subject line is fucked up first time, but I kind of liked it. Hi, Corinne and Christina. Been listening since 2017 and I'm a Luminary subscriber. Hey. Love the show. Thank you. I'm a 30-year-old successful woman living in Canada. I've attached a photo so you can put a picture to the name. I have a question. I'm not sure to who to ask. And I was listening to your podcast. I thought maybe you can help get me some clarity. When I was 13, I was groomed by an older man. He was 22.
Ugh.
Yuck. It's still kind of weird to admit that. Yeah. I thought I loved him and that we would get married one day.
Of course.
The first time I had sex, it was with him. Oof. We were drinking alcohol and I felt really horny. So I asked him to have sex with me. He was hesitant, but after
he was pretending to be hesitant.
Yeah. Are you sure? He was hesitant, but after making sure I was really okay with it, LOL, he fucked me. It felt amazing and I constantly wanted it after that. Mm-hmm. I hear people talking about how their first time hurt or wasn't that great and I can't relate. My question is it fucked up that I actually feel like I had a relatively great first time, even though it was with a fucked up pedophile?
Hebophile.
Yeah, he wasn't a pedophile. Yeah. I'm in therapy for many things, including this and mommy issues.
Woo-woo.
It's been such a tumultuous and amazing journey. I already know I've come a long way for even asking this question and talking about what happened. So honestly, thank you for the great content.
Oh my God, you're so cute. And your dog is, I love Minnie Greyhound.
The Italian Greyhound, so cute.
Oh my God, what a gorgeous dog.
I love an Italian Greyhound.
That makes all the sense in the world to me. I think... I just think of when I was 13 trying to get this teacher to touch me for 4 years. And he didn't because he's, a good person or whatever. But
because he just wasn't interested in a preteen
or that. No, I was pretty hot. I wasn't hot until way later. But I had big tits, so that's cool. But there was this thing when I was thinking about this yesterday because I was at Six Flags. There's a lot of teenagers, a lot of like 13, 14, 15. And it reminded me of when I was that age. I'm like, I was so horny. I think girls at that age are as horny as guys. And we just don't like.
I'm hornier now.
Oh, really? I'm hornier than I'm just a horny person, I guess.
I was more boy crazy than I was horny, I think.
I think I was so boy crazy that it made me horny.
Interesting. I was only like horny for teachers and stuff. I didn't want to actually so fuck any of these teachers. Kids.
Nah, I wasn't. Yuck. Nah, I didn't want to. Yeah.
So I'm like, what am I, a pedophile?
The only guys that I was like, I want to fuck that guy. Like, I never thought that about a fellow 13-year-old when I was 13.
Yeah.
Was about teachers or my friend's dads.
Hell yeah. I would masturbate
to them. Yeah. Like, I would. And there's something about a 13-year-old girl's sexuality that's fucking ferocious in a way.
Yeah.
It's very potent. It's very thick.
Yeah.
And it's swimming in every cell of your body. So that's why I always say, like, if that teacher would have crossed the line and touched me and say we had sex, That probably would have been the best day of my life.
Dude, Beth, I don't know if you watched Beth Stelling's special on Netflix yet. Really funny. I love her. But it's called If You Didn't Want Me Then. And the title comes from her being like a 13-year-old, like aggressively hitting on her babysitter who was like way older. And she has this like, I don't want to ruin it, but
it's
like,
so funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. And it's so funny. She was like, I was straight up sexually harassing my babysitter. Like throwing myself on him where he had to put his hand out like this so that he, like I didn't molest him.
Dude, one time at a lot, I slept at, we had a lock-ins for our play, and this person and I, this teacher and I, we, our heads were on the same pillow.
Yeah, that was weird.
I loved every second. And then there was a rumor going around that we did stuff, and I was like, yeah, I fucking wish. And I would just masturbate to the idea of what if that rumor was true. Oh, I mean, my you couldn't fucking get me off this guy's dick. Like, it's so, no, that's not fucked up. That's my answer.
Yeah, and I also think that just because you were around and had sex with a guy who was fucked up, that doesn't necessarily mean that anything about you is fucked up.
No.
Like by proxy, you know, it's not.
You scientifically couldn't grasp that situation was fucked up when you were in.
And I also think just because you were in a fucked up situation doesn't mean that you're going to be fucked up and doesn't mean that you have to feel like you were a victim, right?
Yeah.
So like, even though I, of course it is inappropriate for a 22-year-old man to have sex with a 13-year-old girl, I do think that you can come out of it relatively unscathed. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe in your head, like you did give like, you know, in quotes, the consent that you think that you needed at that time. And so even though it was gross of him to take advantage of you like that, like maybe like that was enough for you in that time in your life. Like, I don't necessarily know if I had sex with a 22-year-old when I was 13, probably 13 is a little young, but like maybe when I was 16, like, I don't know if that would have affected me and that, you know, crazily. Like when I think about it, like I had just turned 18 when I had sex with like a, you know, 26-year-old, like, is it really that?
It's not that much. Well, yeah.
I don't know how much different I was, you know, at the beginning of high school as compared to the end of high school. Like, I don't know that anyone in union really like made me grow up.
There's also something when you're a teenage girl, like below 18, I'm talking like 13, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
17 doesn't count. 17's older. Where the idea of an older man, like it's so hot because it makes you feel like a woman and you're only 13. And that's like so intoxicating. Like this girl in my high school, Brittany, I remember one time she was like, hey, I have these two guy friends. I think we were 15. I think they were 23 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a hot tub and they invited me over, me and a friend and come. And I got the feeling in my stomach of that's not going to be good. Like, I don't want to do anything with those guys, but I do want to experience being in a bikini in a hot tub with a 25-year-old man.
Right, because you want the attention, but you don't actually want to have to go all the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Like,
it's great until they actually try to insert their big, scary cock into you.
then it didn't get there because I was like, I don't want to see a dick yet. But I will say that night, I'll never forget that night because I felt like I felt alive and I felt like a woman and I, totally. Oh my God. And it was just because he was just so much older than he was a fucking man. I'm like, there's a grown ass man in front of me. Yes. Like I just couldn't wait to fuck. Ugh.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And also, I mean, like, it's like, you know, women are constantly, you know, when women are spending time around men our age, we're constantly waiting for them to catch up with us.
Yeah, they won't.
Emotionally. And it's annoying.
Yes, it is. It is. It's lonely.
And we're tired of
it. It's lonely at the top, guys.
Yeah. We're tired of it and it's annoying.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when you say, why aren't you fucking me? That's why. Because you're tying us and you're annoying.
There you go. Guys, where else? What other podcast can give you the answers? Like, guys, we fucked. The answer is no other podcast. Okay, next subject line. He doesn't want kids, but I might. Hi, Corinne and Christina, Alfred, Kevin, and Mike. Love how Mike was last.
That's hilarious.
After the dogs.
That's a reminder of my place here.
Yep. I'm a big fan of the podcast, as well as Without a Country and the voices in our heads. I'm writing this email because I really need some advice. I, 27-year-old female, have been dating my boyfriend, 28-year-old male, for 5 years. We love each other very much, and we have great communication. I come from a family that yelled about everything. He comes from a family that swept every issue under the rug. So we both learned what not to do. Because of this, we deal with conflict as us versus the problem, not us versus each other.
Ooh, okay, therapy, yes.
Also, because of my anxiety, I need to deal with any and all conflicts immediately. I hear you. It's a ton of talking, which I know is a nightmare to some, but it works for us. There is only one problem in our entire relationship thus far that we cannot solve. I don't know if I want children or not, but he definitely doesn't. He doesn't want to get married until I've decided, which is fair. Wait, what do you mean? What does that mean?
So like she has to decide, like, so if she doesn't, if she wants kids, he doesn't want to marry her, which I think is a good decision.
That's very fair. Oh, this guy's got a good head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah. But how can I know whether or not I'm going to change my mind about children? Right. Yeah. I mean, look at me. I'm fucking literally every other week. I'm like, yes, no, yes, no. I never wanted kids, mostly because I didn't see them fitting in with my lifestyle. Plus, my mom definitely wants me to have kids. And I push back because I think it's unfair of parents to expect grandchildren.
Your mom has 0% to do with this decision.
Yes.
Just eliminate that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up that parents pressure their kids to have kids. Let's stop doing that. While I don't know if I want kids, I do know that I want to marry him. He is sweet, kind, creative, intelligent, patient, talented. And he's one of the few guys I know who actively works on himself. We both work in the arts in different facets, so we understand each other's weird schedules. For example, we have to do long distance when I get out of state contracts. It's hard and we miss each other, but we do it because he supports my career goals. I know we are still in our 20s, but we live in the Midwest and a lot of our friends are married.
Yeah.
Another reason, not to care. 44 in the Midwest, basically. Yeah. It's not that I want to get married because everyone else is doing it. I'm just more comfortable with the idea because I see it and I'm around. The issue started when I saw my boyfriend playing with his niece and I started to think about him as a father.
Oh God, this is such a chick issue.
Well, just because a thought comes in doesn't mean that's it. I think he would be such a good father. You can still think that and not want kids, and I can see us being parents together. I went from a definite no to on the fence. Just because, I mean.
All guys are good with playing with fucking kids because it involves no responsibility and all fun, guys. Stop watching men Pele with kids. It's toxic. An adult man was good at playing fucking Legos? Yeah, because it's childish. The amount of times I've heard this.
No logic, women.
No fucking logic. Oh my God. Did you see him clean a diaper? Did you see him get the kid to school on time? Then me gonna make a baby.
Me gonna make a baby. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean,
any man can be nice to a kid and a baby or have fun with a baby.
I have a video of one of my exes that I still watch to this day when he's playing with his new nephew, and it is so cute. And I go, this man couldn't even fucking pay his own rent on time. Okay, and I know I'm giving away who it is.
At least in this room,
that's
for
a couple.
Sure.
But I love the video. Yeah, oh wow, he was nice to a baby in a 5-minute interaction. Father of the fucking year.
Gotta say though, I
Jesus
mean,
Christ, people.
Were these guys not nice to babies? Then you really got to worry.
Right? Well, right?
Then they're murderers. They're sociopaths.
Can you imagine a man not being able to toss a ball with a baby? Yeah. That's a sociopath.
Yeah, that would be frightening.
Jesus.
The issue started when I saw my boyfriend playing with his niece. I started to think about him as a father. I think he would be such a good father because he's being parents together. I went from a definite no to an on the fence. He has remained steadfast in his decision. Maybe he just needs to see you play with the baby and he'll change his mind. No, he won't, because that's not logical, as Corinne has just pointed out, and I will stop using that logic in my own life. We could just keep dating and wait for me to gain clarity about the issue. However, I don't want to live in limbo.
It's not living in limbo.
You're not living in limbo if you don't.
It's not life or death.
Right. You're existing together because you want to be in the relationship. It's not limbo.
I don't even actually understand, besides it just being a nice pact that you're making with each other, what's the rush to get married?
Right.
If you're not.
We've been tricked.
Yeah.
The rush to get married, you guys, it's a fucking trick.
Just
okay?
Enjoy this person.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get married later. You want to get married later? You get married later.
Yeah.
But don't get tricked into it. Oh my God. If I knew he wanted kids, then the answer would be clear.
If I knew I wanted
kids. Oh, I'm sorry. If I knew I wanted kids, then the answer would be clear. Break up. But I don't want to break up with him. It hurts to even think about. I mean, yes, because breakups hurt. Even if he didn't have all these great qualities. I don't want to break up just because I might want kids later in life. But I also, this is a tricky one. I also don't want to hold each other back from finding better suited partners if I do end up deciding that I want kids. You mentioned on an episode a while ago that a breakup isn't a failure and that we should be congratulating people for ending relationships that weren't right for them anymore. Yes, we should.
Look at us giving out great advice.
You're not going to get that on any other podcast. Would this be an example of that if we were to get married and end up divorcing because I changed my mind about kids? I've also asked him if he'd leave me if I accidentally got pregnant.
This sounds like you're plotting.
Yeah, that's not. Use this condom, not that one.
Come on, girl. Come on.
I've also asked if he'd leave me if I accidentally got pregnant and decided to keep it. That's such a 3-year-old question. It's like the 3-year-old covered in brownie batter going, I didn't eat it. The dog did. He said no, but he seemed pretty unhappy at the thought of it. Well, yeah. Because he doesn't want kids.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be deceived. What a monster.
Yeah. How do I decide whether or not I want kids? You're asking, we'll go to Corinne for that one. How can I know?
Have you heard of a magic eight ball?
Have you heard of a psychic?
Do you know
get your coffee ground
tarot?
Bread. Yeah. How about, what's that called? The rock on the chain?
Oh,
the,
yeah. What is that called?
I have that. A talisman? No, whatever.
That just sounds something right. Whatever. Something like that. Mike, look it up, please.
Yeah. You know,
what am I looking at? Rock on a chain?
No, it's a talisman. It's
a swinging thing that decides.
It's a crystal
Google
on a chain.
Swinging thing that decides future and the internet
it's
will know
dick.
What we're talking about.
It's not
about.
A dick, though.
It's not a dick.
Swinging thing that decides future.
Yeah, it'll know. It'll know what we mean.
How can I know that I won't change my mind? Well, you never know, okay? Is it a bad idea to
guess
move
again?
No. Well, tell me. It knows.
It just says pendulum. Is
pendulum.
Kind of,
that's
there you
it.
Go. See?
Oh,
Google never fails.
Wow, Mike. You didn't think that was it, Mike? Pendulum?
Definitely not. That's not what I... Yeah, okay. Pendulum. All right.
Is it a bad idea to move forward with our relationship and get married without making that decision? Is this just one of those times where there isn't a perfect solution?
There is. Don't get married yet.
Yeah. Thank you for reading this because you're not in limbo. That's what we got to clear out. This idea. You've agreed that if you are, while you're in the decision-making process, you are in limbo and that's the thoughts we got to change.
It's outside pressure that makes it feel like their relationship is less of a relationship because they're not married because of where they are and the parents and stuff. It's totally clear.
And it's such bullshit because if you're together for 25 years and you're not married, to me, I'm more impressed by that because I'm like, you could leave at any time and it'd be relatively clean other than if you live together.
Well, unless there's a man involved, then he'll just kind of hang around.
Maybe, yeah. But you want to be there. To get divorced, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. I mean, it's so much work to get divorced. And so that's why I think people stay in marriages. But if you're in a 30-plus year relationship and you're not married, That's awesome. That's like, you both want to be there. Thank you for reading this. I look forward to your thoughts, attached or pictures. Oh, your dog is so cute.
You already
cute.
Share a dog. That's pretty committed.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is,
you guys are super cute.
The thing is also, like, he could also change his mind, right? Just because he's telling
that's
you, there's a lot less pressure on men societally to make that decision. So he could have a firm no now in his late 20s. And that could change for the, you know, over the course of the next 10, 20 years. No problem, right? Yeah. Even longer than that.
Right. I think it's just maybe it's giving you anxiety, the woman who wrote us, that you were finally faced with the fact that after watching him play with his niece, oh, if I marry him, it's definitely a no. And maybe that's what did it.
I also think, I mean, my theory of like deciding what I want before I meet people that I'm going to do it with, like it comes back to that, right? So like the yeah. only, you know, I have decided that I don't want kids, but I mean, like there is a small part of me that's like, if I met someone who was like absolutely spectacular, who really added to my life and supported me and would be the primary caretaker of a child,
stay home dad, yeah.
could I be convinced to have a child? Yes, I yeah. think so. And it's because of that, like the to me, the partner comes first, right?
Right.
So it's like, do you love someone enough to get married to them if you're more concerned about the children? Then to me, why are you getting married at all? To
right.
me, then to me, like to me, if I'm getting
that's
married,
true.
I'm loving someone so much that being with them is the most important thing as far as like my familial structure. And I just don't see a lot of people loving like that, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, everyone mocks me or whatever, like Karina doesn't like relationships or whatever. It's just like, who's putting out deals like that? I think I'm like the most romantic in that sense. Like,
yeah,
because I would, if I like, I, yeah, I would just like, I would need to love someone so much that I will literally change my plans for them.
I think
that to me is what real like love is. That everything yes. else is just a fucking situationship, to be honest.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think with culturally the way that, masculinity is and femininity is, I think women have been pushed to put the cart before the horse
yeah.
in so many major life moments.
Yes.
Being a little girl and then thinking about your wedding. You're not even dating, bitch. Wait till you like somebody enough. Do I want kids or do I not? You don't even know if you're going to get married. Huh? Like even the idea of thinking about a kid without, because I agree with you, Corinne, like that's why with my kid thing, I'm like, I'm not dead set on it. And it's like, if I love somebody so much and they love me and they're interested in it, and I'm like, yeah, I could absolutely do it. But I'm not like seeking out, I want to have a kid. I want to have a kid. Like, that's why if I don't have kids, I'm not going to be heartbroken over that. But yeah, putting the cart before the horse in that way is, I think, so detrimental, because then you're just, the decisions you're making are based off of fear.
Yeah. And I don't believe that you're the only one who has any chance of changing their mind in this situation.
Yeah.
Right. You know, totally. I don't want to be like I don't want to treat your boyfriend the way society treats women. Where like, I don't want to be like, he doesn't know yet, but it's more just of your, just because of your ages combined. Right. Like it's annoying yeah. when people talk to us about it. It's like, well, we're literally running out of physiological time.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different.
The eggs are dying off.
Yeah. But I just don't. Okay. So he hardcore, like what 27-year-old guy definitely wants kids? Like they don't even, I don't even believe that they know what that entails.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem. I think like, yeah, too many people are living, you know, life wanting kids because they did see someone play with a niece once. And I don't think like,
yeah.
Have you ever really, like when I was thinking about whether I wanted kids, I literally sat in my apartment and in my, every morning I envisioned myself, no matter
yes.
what temperature it was, put half asleep at 6:45 in the morning, getting myself dressed, feeding my dog, picking out an outfit for my kid, getting my kid outside to a bus or driving them to the, I played that scenario out in my head. Then getting home after I did a full day of work, helping them with their homework, relearning all this arithmetic that I didn't understand the first time, going to school plays, going to, if they want to play softball or soccer or something worse that I don't want to watch. You know,
totally.
I went through all this and like also just the monotony, like the, for me, it was like the monotony of school was really overbearing. So like mm-hmm. when I finally got out of that pattern of having to go to school every day, that to me was the most relief I found. And like, there's not, I hate monotony. Even like,
totally.
That's why I don't tour every year with stand up, because even though it's supposed to be interesting, they just set you up on the same path and it's the same cities every year. And that monotony is the bane of my existence. So I have to do something different. I hate monotony. And I just think about that and I go, could I would I go fucking crazy if I had to do that every single fucking day? It was so hard to get through the first time for myself. And then to have to do that again. I don't know how my parents had the goddamn energy to do that.
Your mom is an educator, so she...
I don't know how... She must
her patience is probably pretty intense. Like
never
pretty,
stayed awake through a whole movie my entire life. I don't think she's ever seen a full movie.
Yeah, because she worked so hard teaching the kids earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. I love movies.
Well, and there's a lot, and there's so many... That's why it's tricky. There's so many perks to not having a kid.
Yeah.
There's so many perks. And there's so many perks to having a kid. But like...
And listen, it looks beautiful. I mean, like Rosebud just had a baby and like...
Oh, she had the baby.
Yeah. And Rosebud, congratulations to Rosebud and Andy. And like, yeah. And Rosebud is a person who I think like, you know, has a similar like, you know, very goal-oriented, you know, from a goal-oriented successful family. So she gets it. And, you know, she posted the picture and she's like, you know, this is the thing I'm most proud of in my entire life. And I'm like... Oh, wow. That's really like says something,
yeah,
you know?
Right. Cause she's so driven.
So
yeah,
I take that to heart. But, yeah. And I mean, the only thing that's ever made me want to have a baby recently is that Posh and Beck's documentary did do a number on me. But that's just because they have the most beautiful relationship.
Their relationship is awesome.
Although I do think it is revealed in the documentary, even though they don't reveal it word for word, that I think he actually did cheat when he moved to Real Madrid and when he was in Spain for, you know, 10 seconds by himself. Jeez. Poor baby. I'm sorry, was that hard for you, David?
Becky Wicky.
Fucking ridiculous. Oh.
It was just really hard for me after I had moved my family to another country for the 8th time that my dick was not attended to for fucking a week. Everyone was speaking Spanish.
That is how he talks.
And me speaks British English. How did I get through it? Kick a ball. Shut up.
Can we clip that up and tag him?
So mad at him.
How dare you? How dare you disrespect Victoria like that? And you could tell she was
upset. That's how I felt when Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce. I'm like, you fucking idiot.
I just for the whole time, I really just didn't believe it was so. And also, fuck that lady. Who sold the story.
Yeah.
Fucked David Beckham and then you got to tell everybody? Fuck both of you.
Yeah, that's awful. It's so gross.
You sold, ew.
Yeah, that's so gross.
Listen.
That's so gross. So then you cheated on your wife that you are absolutely in love with and have a credible relationship with. And then with a person who did that, ain't no pussy worth that.
Like, did you think he was leaving you for a Spice Girl? Grow up. Like, it's not happening. Well, that's also what kind of like pissed me off. It's just like, I mean, it's not like she fucked an ugly celebrity. She's fucked one of the hottest celebrities there is. Isn't that enough? You got to sell the story too? Nonsense. I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
How long have we got? You gave me the rap sign a while ago.
It's like an hour 10.
An hour 10. Okay. Okay. So we have a bunch of more emails, but we'll get to them. We'll get to them next week. You know, we'll get to them. This is, I liked this. I love the email episode. I love a deep dive on a very specific narrowed down topic too. This is very interesting.
Oh, man.
Hope you guys have fun.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. I am sweating, but I think this is Zycam.
Make sure you guys go see us on October 19th at the Midnight Theater. You can also buy streaming tickets. And I'm 99% sure this is 100% happening. December 1st, save the date if you're in New York. It's our next.
Oh, and also, fuck it. I'm doing a little stand-up show on Thursday, October 26th at Brooklyn Comedy Club. Come see me. Yay. I'm gonna work on some new material. And it's gonna be Halloween themed. And it's Halloween themed because you're gonna be like, wow, it's scary how bad this new material is until it's been polished. Happy Halloween. Ticket link in bio.
Spooky. Those jokes suck.
Oh God. It'll be fun. Ryan Long's gonna be there. John Campanelli's gonna be there. We'll have a good time. I only booked white men. Honestly, I gotta be honest, these are the people who help me out, so I gotta help them out. All right, guys, thank you so much. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We will talk to you next Friday. Bye. If you Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? There's an angel on my shoulder, but you whisper in my ear. Tell me everything I never thought I'd want to hear. Then you speak so clear. But the devil's in the details.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.